I want you to feel how much weight I lost.
How much? You want me to feel it?
Yep.
How do I feel it?
Fuck, it's so heavy I can't even lift it.
It's a lot, dude.
No wonder. 100%. Cheers.
This episode of Two Bears, One Cave is sponsored by Kettle and Fire Bone Broth. Made with all organic ingredients and bones from 100% grass-fed cows and free-range chickens, Kettle and Fire is available at almost any grocery store in the country. It is the cleanest and highest quality bone broth on the market, and it's great for fasting support. For a limited time, you can save 25% off your entire order when you go to kettleandfire.com/bears and use the code BEARS at checkout. That's kettleandfire.com/bears with the code BEARS at checkout for 25% off your entire order.
You know, I used to think when people said that Tom Cruise was gay,
yeah,
I was like, why does he care?
Yeah.
Like, why, if he's not gay, who cares? Like, Shannon Sharp, everyone's calling Shannon Sharp gay.
They are?
Dude.
Isn't he always talking about...
Black people have taken over podcasting. They are doing it, and they're doing it fucking so wildly reckless.
Yeah, yeah, so it is.
And now it's just, it's almost clear, like, people go, I got a special to promote, let's just call Shannon Sharp gay.
That's what they're doing?
Mike Epps did it, and then Mike Epps... called him gay, and then Shannon Sharp said he was going to shoot him. Shannon Sharp said he was going to roll up, he was going to come up on him or whatever, and then no. Shannon Sharp said he's going to beat his ass, and then Mike Epps said, I will shoot you then.
That works.
Yeah.
Then they hashed it out, though.
And right? Then they hashed it out, thank God, because I love Mike Epps.
He's hilarious.
Mike Epps is possibly one of the cooler fucking dudes, and just has never really changed, and I love that Mike Epps never, like, I don't know anything about anything, but he never really chased Hollywood. Mm. Like, he kind of was like, yeah, you can't spend the money. I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're making it for. You can't spend it when you're dead. And Mike Epps was that guy that was like, I don't need to do things I don't want to do for money. I can just do the things I want to do.
He is hilarious. He is so funny that you can just, give him a line. Like, he's one of those guys that he delivers the line and it's funny. He's so funny in the Hangover movies. Like, I was just watching one of those again.
He's effortless.
It's effortless.
It's really, like, instinctual. Like, I don't think... Have you ever hung out with him?
No, I've never hung out with Mike Epps.
I got very lucky to party with Mike Epps a couple times.
In New York?
In New York. Back in the day, partying with Mike Epps is one of the funnest. He's just he's a really positive energy dude.
Yeah.
And he loves telling stories. And he's like... By the way, him on stage, I will say this to this day... I've never seen anyone murder harder than he did at the Boston Comedy Club in my entire existence there. He did a bit about selling candy bars as a kid, mm-hmm. and it escalated into, this is what white women do. I'm paraphrasing in Mike Epps. If you see this, I apologize, but this is how I remember it. This is what white women do to you. Once they reject you enough, you have to turn into a thug. So he starts off, he's like, hey, my name's Mike Epps. I was just, and they shut the door in his face. He's like, damn, so you go to the next door. And by the way, it escalates. He's like, get on the floor, bitch. Like, it was the fucking hardest I've ever seen anyone murder. But he's the best guy. But he said some stuff on thing. Everyone's calling Shannon Sharp gay. By the way, who cares? I don't care if Shannon Sharp's gay at all.
Yeah, but I definitely don't think he's gay.
I don't
gay.
Think he's gay.
No.
But Eddie Griffin just called him gay.
Really?
Eddie Griffin just
went out. Everybody is like... This is a way to get attention because of
Shannon Sharp's the biggest platform. Everyone, do you remember when everyone just called Joe Rogan 5'3"?
Yeah.
And you're like, he's not 5'3".
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Did that ever bother Joe?
No, because at that point he had been, you forget that like when his podcast really took off, he'd already been like famous for a while and he's already been called short and bald and, you know, and he knocked. So I think his tolerance for those types of insults didn't do anything to him. Probably did something to him when he was like a teenager or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But by the time that happened, no, I think you have to go, you have to you know, challenge information that he's given to piss him off.
Everyone's got the thing that clicks on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's got the button.
You make a claim that he, you know, either knows isn't right or disagrees with, that might get his attention. But if he's like, you're short, I don't think he's going to get fired up about that.
This is so funny. We did the Secret Time, obviously, everyone.
Don't tell anybody this.
We did Rich Eisen show drunk. And we were like, Yo, Gronk, what's the secret about Tom Brady? We'll tell you one about Rogan. And I just said something wild because I didn't have a secret. I didn't have a real secret about Joe.
Where was I talking about a secret about Joe? I talked about his salmon farm. Was that with you?
We were wasted.
Was that on that show?
Yeah.
When I talked about his salmon farm?
I don't know. What was it?
Yes?
Yeah?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that he has like a bunch of like salmon running on the property. And he chases them and he eats them with his hands and stuff.
So that's the fun part is we can make up secrets about our friends and go and get traction.
I really wish the salmon stuff would have taken off.
I loved the one that he killed a mountain lion with a belt.
Yeah.
Do you remember when that came out?
Yeah.
And then he actually had to come out and say, "Hey guys, I did not kill a mountain lion with a belt."
Yeah.
At the ice house. That was a real rumor, but rumors. Like, and Eddie Griffin's coming out and saying that the big one that I do not get it, is black men wearing dresses.
Oh, that's a big thing.
That's a big fucking deal. That's I've been in dresses. I've been in full drag makeup.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me.
If you were black, they would really ridicule
you.
It's
so crazy.
Yeah, that's rooted in some, you know,
what?
Well, it's
is that like from like racist times they made black men wear dresses?
Well, made a mockery of them, just kind of period.
Their manhood.
And then you know, like black dudes that are like over 30,
yeah,
are all pretty homophobic. Over 40, the fuck is stab you, like if you make a gay joke, like so that's it's like. Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, I think, to make it like, I mean, I get it that it's a cultural thing. So like us commenting on it, someone's going to be like, well, you just don't understand. Okay, I don't understand.
By the way, those are some of my favorite movies when black dudes wear dresses.
All black, just black dudes? Or just
dudes? What was the one where
Martin?
Wesley Snipes wore a dress?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it's like a real, like, it's like a card people pull out and they're like, they made a mockery of you. And it's like, no, I mean, first of all, it can be just like a part. I mean, people celebrate Robin Williams, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Fucking amazing. Tootsie, yeah. Amazing. And now you can't do that now. But like White Chicks was a great fucking movie.
Well, he had to comment on
it. Yeah, White Chicks is a great fucking movie.
I know.
And they wore dresses. Who gives? I understand. I don't get it, so I should just shut my mouth. I get that. But
you
like,
never do that, though.
No. Why would I? That's not what the internet's for.
But
when you don't catch it, you say it out loud.
Martin Lawrence was hilarious. Big Martin Mom's
Lawrence.
House.
Martin Lawrence.
He was so funny.
He's the fucking best.
He was also, if you want to go back, everybody, especially black culture, celebrates the Martin Lawrence show. Like, I watched the whole Martin Lawrence show.
Oh, I'm going to break something down.
He was Shanae-Nae. Remember?
He was Shanae-Nae. So wait. So, okay. Let's whittle it down. Has there ever been, give me a, let's say, stereotypical, strong black man comedy lead that was funny?
Yeah.
Sometimes when, like, Martin Lawrence was always like the, and I I mean this with respect, but like he was always like the one it was happening to.
Yeah.
He was always like, whoa, come on. Like he was the joke in the joke. Like the jokes were happening at him. Eddie Murphy in Beverly Hills Cop.
Right.
He was strong. I'm wondering, like, because most comedies, you don't get like the badass. Like Chris Farley was the joke.
Right.
Anytime Dana Carvey.
If you're a true badass, it's not a comedy, right?
Right.
Like,
so,
yeah.
So what, where is this? They're making fun of people who are, I don't know if I'm off base on this, but like white chicks, they're the joke.
You're laughing at them, but they're being very funny. That's why you're laughing, because they're funny guys.
White dudes have, there are white comics. You're one of them, kind of, where the joke, you're the driving force in the joke. I'm the one the joke's about.
Right, right. But then I play with it, right? Like I will say, like, I did this stupid, or I had this stupid thought. But like, it's more, you're right, it's like lashing out at things.
Like Rogan is more like, he's the driving force. He laughs at the things.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right. But I think everybody who does that, still, you still always get to the point where you go like, oh, I have to reveal something dumb that I did, or dumb. So jokes are about me, but you do it more so. So there's like a balance. There's a counterbalance.
Yeah. I don't mind being the joke. Like, I don't mind. Sometimes I'll, in in a podcast with like someone, I'll mishear things.
Yes.
And I'll say it and then I'll feel foolish and then I'll go, but that's, and they'll make fun of me.
Yeah.
And I go, that's the reason you're here is to laugh.
Yeah.
That's all I give a fuck about is someone has a lighter day than it started.
It's strange that like, also I should say this back to the Martin Lawrence show. I don't remember anybody doing anything but celebrating Shanae.
Yeah.
And I guess if you want to be technical, you go, she's not in a dress. Okay. She wasn't in a dress. She was usually like in like spandex pants, but you know, tits, hair, big ass earrings, nails. Like it's a woman.
Yeah.
But you're laughing at him doing this character and he would do, you know, Jamal and the security guard. And like you do all these characters. You laughed at all of them because they were just hilarious.
That was almost the angle then was if you were an actor, because like Mike Myers did it, you had to play all the characters.
You had to do the characters.
They don't do that anymore, really.
Not as much. No, I don't really see it. But, and then Eddie was like, obviously, Nutty Professor. That's what everybody was like. He's Eddie's playing nine characters.
Did he ever wear a dress? Yeah.
Well, yeah, he plays his own mother and like grandmother and aunt in that thing.
Do you think they're really taking a shot at Tyler
Perry? Being Madea? Yeah, people also do that.
By the way.
That was another thing. They're like, that's all you do well. It's like, yeah, but that worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it worked out.
All you need to do is one thing really well, you know?
Dude, I'd suck my dick on camera if I got that kind of money.
That's cool. The best way to learn a language, immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I like going back and forth, trying different ones. It's a fun exercise. It's a good way to not just learn another language, but actually use your time. Non parlo italiano, ma parlo molto male, ma pratico ogni giorno. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold, plus all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, you get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/bears. Get 55% off at babbel.com/bears. That's spelled BABBEL.com/bears. Rules and restrictions may apply. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. I'm telling you, this is the easiest thing to make one of your best habits. I grab the packets. I take them with me on the road. I take them with me in the car. It's so easy. You tear it up. You pour it in. 1 stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. Liquid IV contains no artificial sweeteners, and it also has 0 sugar. Liquid IV replaces sugar with a proprietary amino acid allulose blend. Allulose is a naturally occurring sweetener with the same sweet taste and texture one can expect from table sugar. It has 8 vitamins and nutrients and is non-GMO and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code CAVE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code CAVE at liquidiv.com.
I'm certain they'd have notes about that.
Yeah. Have you tried?
Why? Well, don't pull that up. Why are you pulling that up?
Oh. Do we have to headphones?
Wait. Hold on.
All right. We should set this up. So a few weeks ago, we.
Speaking of guys who like gay shit.
Holy shit! This is loud. How do I turn this down? Okay. A few weeks ago, I introduced you to Naked Martin,
and we introduced it to Joe.
We introduced it to Joe afterwards, but when we were talking about Naked Martin, we decided to reach out. Because you can reach out, submit, and ask for him to do a video.
Yes.
So we dictated to Zolo to write what you write, and then we just go, it's just like he has to accept or not. Apparently he accepted. I have not seen this.
How much did this cost us?
I don't know. I don't think it was cheap. $85. He's, okay.
$85.
That's a lot of money.
I call that walking around cash.
First of all, he's got a piece on him.
He does have a piece on him.
He's also added a lot of tats since I remember seeing him last.
Yeah, and a bow tie. He classed it up.
Let's see what he did.
Congrats on your podcast, Joe Rogan. Here's to many more insightful episodes. Been a fan since News Radio.
Yeah.
Okay. He's nice. Jumping around. He did like a helicopter thing with his dick, if you're listening.
Now uncircumcised.
Now he is...
Oh, on a piece of bread. Oh, fuck.
Oh, I think we asked him to make a sandwich.
Oh, Tom, I'm going to throw up. Tom, I'm going to throw up. Tom, I'm going to throw up.
I don't know if he's really doing
Tom,
this.
Tom, I'm going to throw up. I'm going to throw up. Oh, my God. I'm going to fucking throw up. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's so much shit. He's taking a shit. And it landed perfectly on the bread. Oh, my eyes are watering.
I can't watch. 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 I'm so sorry, Joe. I'm so sorry, Joe. I wish we had just gotten him to wear a dress.
I just ate, too. God, he's cutting it into halves.
There's no amount of Lucy's that are going to right my boat.
He's eating it.
Congratulations, show on the podcast.
Congrats on your new deal.
Congrats on the new deal. We love you. This is our present to you.
Shout out to Spotify. That was terrible. Thank you, Martin. That was great.
Different Martin.
Holy shit.
That's a white guy podcast move right there.
Yeah.
You're not seeing that on Mason Cameron.
No, they're not doing that. We should send them.
We should send them one.
Hey, guys, great show. We should get them to do. Mason Cameron.
Mason Cameron.
Congrats on your Killer rap Cam, careers and your,
Mother Mace.
And your podcast.
You guys are doing big things, but not as big as this. Do you think they just stop talking to us?
Stop?
Or no, not that they do talk to us.
I don't think they would.
Hello, Nori from Drink Champs. We should send these to all. I want to see the look on Nori's face. Because Nori would not find that funny.
No, I know. I don't think.
I don't think Joe's going to find it funny.
I think he's going to throw up if he sees it.
So no one's seen that yet?
No one's seen it. I hadn't seen it. They told me.
I wish I hadn't. I closed my eyes.
They told me it had arrived yesterday, and I go, send it to me. And he's like, well, don't you want to see it first on the podcast? I go, yeah, don't send it to me. Send it to me later. Because we'll get to do a fun group text in a little while.
Sometimes I question my things I've done in my past parenting. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if that's affected the way my children have grown up.
Yeah.
What do you think happened? I made us bone broth.
I like bone broth.
I don't know. Right now is the time to
maybe we hold a beat.
Just take a second.
What would you think if like one of your daughters was doing videos like this? They were doing shout out shit videos.
Break my heart.
And they're like, but I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just taking a shit and eating it. I get $85 a pop, Dad.
That's called making $85 the hard way.
She's like, no, no one touches me. It's mine.
I didn't have sex with anyone.
I'm not doing anything wrong. I just shit on bread. Oh, shit.
Everyone's got a price point, and his was $85.
Is it really $85?
I'm sweating.
That's it?
I've been a big fan since Newsray. He knows who he is.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, he must have seen the podcast. I'm sure he got a lot more requests after us. These 85s are really adding up. Like you're like, hey, how did you go to the Bahamas? I'm doing this thing on the side. I got my own money.
I wonder how much to pay to have him do it in front of people. like at a grocery store. I bet that's a high price. He's going to get arrested.
He's going to get arrested, yeah. He's probably like, nah. But you could probably have him come to like a house party.
Hey, Jennifer Aniston.
Check this out.
We brought a guy for face safety. Ooh. That was a palate cleanser. That reset the conversation.
Yeah, let's change it.
Jesus Christ.
You know what I was thinking about the other day? My eyes are all watering.
That's aggressive.
No, I was thinking, I'll jump out of this. I was thinking about like how great Duncan is as a podcast guest.
Can't think of anything else.
And I was thinking, what's like my top, what are the top five home run guests every time?
Oh.
Because I think in the, I'm talking about a comedy podcast.
Yeah. Easy.
I think it's Duncan.
Duncan.
Tim Dillon.
Okay.
Theo.
Yeah.
I think Chrissy D is an incredible guest. And who's number five? This is in no order. I'm just saying these are like the five.
Bobby Lee. And I'll tell you why. I know why. I mean, I know why.
Yeah.
Those guys, for real, give it all to you on a podcast.
Yeah, they're great.
They don't hold back anything. They give it all to you. Like, I withhold stuff. Like, I do withhold stuff at times. And
you do?
I tell secrets, but, like, Theo will take a bit that is stage worthy,
yeah,
and drop it on a podcast and never say it again.
Yeah.
And Tim Dillon, I will say, it's crazy you said those two of those people. I thought of Tim Dillon today, and I thought of Duncan Trussell's today.
Well, you know what the other thing is about most of those guys? And this is, I think, this is the mark of like, you're special in podcasting, is people who can actually make a good episode alone. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Tim Dillon doesn't.
I did it once, and I was like, this was bad. Oh. They're really good alone. Alone.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
My alone energy is creepy.
Creepy?
Like it shows you just how not serious I am about life. And I did one alone episode of Birdcast, and I took the mic to Starbucks. I got Starbucks thinking it would be interesting. I want to finish this, but I want to talk about Duncan and Tim specifically. But I did it alone, and then I came back, and I ended up doing this thing called the Pirate Song, mm-hmm. of just me, if I was a pirate, what song I'd sing. And it's so stupid, and it's so... I mean, it's funny in the sense that it's not funny at all.
Do you think that the episode is creepy or sad?
No, it's not sad. It's just like... I think it's an insight to my silly brain.
Yeah.
And it's very vulnerable for me, but I don't care.
Yeah.
But it's my silly brain is very, what makes me giggle what makes me giggle a lot of times does not make everyone giggle.
Sure.
Like I used to do for ad reads and for intros, I would do sketches where I do like Paul Revere driving into the forest, mm-hmm. and then they'd go, the British are coming. Wait, it's a brand new episode. And they're like, what? Mm-hmm. And I thought it was funny. And it was, I got people going like, hey man, just get to the fucking episode.
Oh, okay.
Like, I appreciate that you think you're being funny. We don't find this funny.
Did people think you were funny in jail?
People found me, I'm very funny in jail.
Yeah,
I'm quick.
Yeah.
I make the right friends.
And there's no other comedians probably locked up.
They're funny dudes in jail, but not like me.
Yeah.
Like not guys who like, I do what Theo does on a podcast in jail.
Yeah.
I put all my material out there. Theo really does. I have to say this, and it's a compliment to Theo.
Yeah.
He will write, I think he just writes jokes throughout the day and they kind of sit there.
Yeah.
And if he's on a podcast, he'll give them all to you. At some points I go, God damn it, man. I'd save that for the stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I've done that with us where we've said things. I go edit it out. I want to use it on stage. So I maybe when I was younger, I was that funny, but as I got older, I guess I got less funny. And if I notice something good, I'm like, I need that for a special.
Sure.
I want that. Tim Dillon, I said today, Tim Dillon said to me one day, I said I was having anxiety. And he said, why? And he goes, it's never going to get better than today. And I went, what? And he goes, first of all, you're making more money than you've ever made. Your kids still love you. No one's asked you to quit drinking. You're healthy. It goes downhill tomorrow. He He was like, every day after this is going to suck. Today's the best day of your life. And I went, fuck yeah. I started looking at life that way, going like, today's fucking awesome.
That's a good perspective.
It's a great way to look at life. Duncan is a driving force in the way I'm moving BurtCast. And I'm being serious. We did a podcast a long time ago, and I had a panic attack in the middle, and Duncan, in the middle of the podcast, and this is so Duncan, this is what I love about him. He said, let's do a guided meditation. I said, what? And he said, let's do a guided meditation. I said, well, hang on, like, we're going to stop down? And he goes, no, just do it right now. I'll do it on the podcast. And if anyone's having a panic attack, I'm going to do a guided meditation. And he did a 15-minute guided meditation to me on the podcast. And at the end, he said, this is what's beautiful about podcasting, is it doesn't have to be what everyone thinks it can be. It can be whatever you want it to be. And he said, I feel bad for David Letterman because he got put into a program and then was forced to do that exact program for 20 years.
Yeah.
And he goes, he never got to grow out of that program and do long form. He is now.
He is now.
But in the Letterman show, he had to do monologue, stupid pet tricks, top 10. He had to do the same thing every time, which formulaically as a viewer is fun, but as an artist, you don't get to grow. I said, I got to a place, this is a little in the weeds on podcasting, but I got to a place where I like having young comics on.
Yeah.
I like having young comics. It's all that's in LA, really. And I'm not the best interviewer. Like, I often just want to hear about myself. Like, I really, like, sometimes, like, I just think, I think about me more than I think about anyone in the world. I think most people do. The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bets. How much fun is Saturday afternoon watching college basketball? I swear to God, it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm looking for. And bam, Florida State's playing Wake Forest. And I am in 100%. I love college basketball more than the pros, to be honest with you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook and use code BEARS. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code BEARS. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/promos for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? Best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. I'm telling you, when I say this, the thing that matters the most to me is spending time with my daughters. And I have talked about this in therapy, and I now plan my trips and my free time to spend time with the girls. Another thing is communicating with my daughters, spending more time talking to them. So I have it on my calendar. Every day I get a call, a little alarm, and I know, hey, call Georgia. Let's catch up. Let's connect. And I talked about that in therapy, and I just implemented that into my life. I love therapy. I've been in therapy for a long time. Tom's in therapy. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bears today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bears.
Yeah, most people think about that.
And so sometimes in an interview, I'm not the best interviewer. And I'm not bringing on scientists or politicians or fucking physicists or the things that Joe's doing. And quite honestly, I couldn't do those interviews if you asked me to.
It would be a fun thing to watch. I would love to hear you with an astrophysicist.
Well, I get sometimes
like,
I get,
so what exactly are you fucking doing, man? He's like,
I don't even know what an astrophysicist, I imagine they deal with stars.
Okay.
I don't even know. I just, cause it says astro in it.
Yeah.
I don't know what an astrophysicist does. I don't understand time travel. I don't understand the fucking...
Those are pretty like high level concepts.
When we did the podcast with Joe and he goes, can I talk about simulation theory?
Yeah.
And I just stopped listening.
Oh, I watched you. And I, you know what you do when you stop listening? You just, your eyes kind of glass over and you kind of look down and you just went to like smoking. And then a couple of minutes passed and I said something to you and you're like, yeah, I tapped out. Like I just,
he was like, are you listening? I said, no,
yeah.
I can't. Like I can listen to like, if you tell me a good Nate Diaz story,
yeah.
Nick Diaz story, Conor McGregor story, a Jorge Masvidal story. I want to hear those. Those are fun for me.
Yeah, that's not simulation theory.
Yeah. And so I said to myself, I've had Birdcast going on for like 10 years now. Thank you to you. Thank you to you.
Please.
And it's been so much fun. But I was like, I want to start when I have comics on, like say Rory Scovel.
Yeah.
I could talk to Rory forever, but I end up sometimes leaving. What?
Do you know what a good artist he is?
Dude, he's coming on Friday and he's so fucking talented.
That guy's talented across the board.
I think people sleep on how talented he is because he is never tethered to his material on stage. Everything's created in the moment and he allows himself to get fucking loose.
Yeah, he's
and
great.
Fun. And he's he great. Records his new specials. I think airing right now on, what is it on?
Max.
On Max.
Yeah.
And next week on Max. It's out right now if you're listening to this. You should see it and give that guy love. Go see him live. He's one of the funnest guys to see live.
He's really great, but he is also an incredible artist. Like he paints very, very well.
He's a great golfer. And he's a great dad.
And
he's
great.
And he's not an alcoholic. There's a lot about this guy that I fucking love.
Yeah, he's great.
So I said to myself, I'm going to take a page out of Duncan's book and allow Birdcast to grow into something a little different at times. Not every episode, because I have like big guests coming on that I want to sit and interview and talk to. But when I get like my friends on or like Trevor Wallace, right? Like, I mean, I love Trevor Wallace. I love Trevor Wallace, but I've done an interview with him talking about his life and I want to have him on again. How do I get more meat off this cow? So I'm going to, based on Duncan, I'm going to mash up open tabs with these comics that I know very
well.
Oh,
that's good. That's good. Yeah.
So what I'll do is I do open tabs. I leave all the tabs open in my Safari browser, and then I go through and close them and show you the shit I've learned that week. And it, so it gives it, it allows me, this is a cheat code, but it allows me to be interested in the conversation authentically because it's shit that they may not know about.
That you know something
that,
about.
That I know something about. But then I get a guy like Rory Scovel to be fucking absolutely hilarious about... Flight 744 that Air France that fucking went down over like I'm fascinated by it. I'm fascinated.
Which
by
one?
It. Flight 744. It's all I've been watching. It went out of Brazil into France and apparently over the equator they get crazy storms that they can't find on radar and the storms are so high they're 60,000 feet up. But it's like it's just fascinating.
Is that a plane that was lost?
It went down because of turbulence.
Did you watch the documentary on the one that disappeared, the famous one?
Yes, of course I did.
That doc was amazing.
Fuck yes.
And the different theories. And then you start to go like, I think that theory checks out. And then they, right as you go like, that's it, that's what happened. Then they're like, here's another theory.
Yeah.
And then you start to go like, oh shit, because you kind of wanted to believe that the pilot had purposely went off course.
Yeah, of course you want to. Here's the thing, is that everyone, listen, like I talked about
now this. I could use some bone broth.
Okay. By the way, this is from Kettle and Fire.
Yeah.
Kettle and Fire. I'm really into fasting. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got another thing I want to show you. This is going to be a great fucking episode.
Okay, thank
so
you.
So all I did was I punched it up with a little pepper.
Okay.
A little hot, spicy. I like spicy in my bone broth. Their bone broth's pretty fucking awesome by itself, but I like when you feel a little kick.
Yeah.
So I put a little bit of red pepper flake in it. Smell good?
It smells great.
It smells fucking great, dude. Bone broth's fucking, one of my favorite things to do is if I cook like tomahawk steaks or any kind of steak, throw all the bones in there and make my own bone broth. But then you can buy the one from Kettle and Broth and they do all the fucking work for you.
And Kettle and Fire.
Kettle and Fire.
Yeah, but they, people don't know.
It's really fucking hot.
Yeah.
I warmed it up. Tell. It's good though.
It's
I burned my tongue really bad. Okay, hold on.
I waited.
I have so much I want to talk to you about. Hold on. Bone broth. I want you to
good
feel
for you, by the way.
I want you to feel how much weight I lost.
How much you want me to feel it?
Yep.
How do I feel it? Oh, you have a weight?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I said to the Spartan race.
You look good.
Thank you. I feel Amazing.
What do you weigh right now?
I just weighed in after Vegas.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going to be like 240 after Vegas because I ate pizza a lot.
Yeah.
After Vegas, I was 231.
That's great.
And so I'm in 220s now. I have a cardiologist appointment next week. I want to get down to in like 222 would be cool. Yeah. Just to see the look on my cardiologist's face. Like, shut the fuck up.
What'd you weigh last time you saw him?
275. And I want you to feel what that feels like, okay? Here, stand up here.
Stand up here?
Yeah, so we can get a full.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to put it on your stomach.
Oh, this is the weight you lost?
Yeah. Shit. Okay. Put your hands in your stomach.
Here?
Yep. That's how much weight I lost. Is that not fucking... Is that not oppressive?
Yes. It's
here.
This is also a cool look. I would,
like, here, take a look inside.
Going out like this would be really cool.
They put, I can't get it out, it's too heavy. They put a 45 pound weight in there. And that is how much fucking weight I lost.
Really?
That is how much weight I lost.
That's a lot, dude.
Can you imagine? I was walking around with that. Yeah. No wonder, the first thing that happened when I put it on, I was barefoot and my heels started hurting. Well, no wonder I had fucking plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, of course. So much weight.
Bro. Yeah.
How much weight did you lose, Tom?
When?
I've gone up and down so many times. I mean, most recently. Yeah, that's a lot.
Take a look at this.
Oh, they put the...
They put it on... Oh, wait. Fuck, it's so heavy I can't even lift it. Yeah. That is it.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's how much fucking weight I lost.
It's a plate. It's a full plate.
It's a full fucking 45-pound plate. Yeah. I walked around with that every single day. And now that I don't have it on, you don't notice it.
Yeah.
But when you put it on, you're like, holy shit. I swear to God, when I... And look, this 5K
by me. It's a good reminder.
This thing, just every morning wake up with it and go, I'm not walking around with that.
Yeah.
And I what we should do... Is that, I'm sweating just from lifting that fucking weight.
It's a lot, dude.
No wonder. It's like the fucking, how much weight did you lose total? What was your biggest?
That ever weighed?
Yeah.
The most I ever saw on a scale was 268.
Really?
Yeah. That was in 2016, I think, or 15. I think it was 15 or 16, one of the two. That's the most I ever weighed. But... I got down, so I did fucking, when I got injured,
yeah,
I was 245, and I lost weight from like not moving.
Yeah.
And so when I was moving around.
Muscle.
It, yeah, muscle and fat, like because you're not consuming as much. When I started moving around again, at first I thought I had, like I was at a new weight, and within a year I was gaining weight again. And so I shot, you know the thing I shot?
Yeah.
When I shot that, I saw, like, if you, when you see it, you'll be like, oh, like, you're pretty big in this. And that, and when I left that set, somebody had told me, like, hey, you should, like, keep going with your fitness, health stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not keep going because it's going well. that's keep going because I don't think you're doing it.
Really?
And that's, and so that was April of 22. And so that's when I started to like go, I have to try to knock this out. So that I was back up to 240.
Really? 240 creeps up on you.
240. And I was like, no, I can't do that. I weighed in a couple of days ago after Vegas. I was 206.
Holy shit.
So, and I thought I was going to be like over 210 and it was 206. And I was like, cause I didn't go that crazy, I guess, with eating. But yeah, I think about it all the time, dude.
If you put this, and I say this to everyone that's training for the 5K by May, we are doing it. It is happening. We will have announcements soon. But I'm telling you, I love seeing you guys post those pictures.
This is awesome.
This is fucking great, isn't it? Yeah. And by the way, I'm telling you right now, great way to lose weight is by fasting, by doing a 16-hour fast. Just do a 12-hour fast.
And then bone broth.
Bone broth. And I'll tell you another key I found, because I drank pretty fun this weekend. Like fun, Tom Segura fun. Went out to Tyler Florence's restaurant, had a martini, two glasses of wine, done. Got home, four cans of liquid death to the face, in bed, pissed in the middle of the night, woke up, feeling good.
I'll tell you a running hack that I learned. So, do you know who Zach Bitter is?
Well.
So I talked to him the other day.
Yeah.
About the 5K. And I was like, well, here's what's going on. Because I noticed, like, if you tell me, like, go run a mile, I can run it, like, 1 mile.
Yeah.
I can run it somewhere in the, if I'm pushing it, I can run it in the nines, right? Like, yeah. Nine something. If you start adding miles, that pace has to slow down. So for a 5K, you do a competition, you do want to push it. You want to push yourself. Yeah. But if you train by
pushing yourself,
you basically are kind of max taxing your heart rate. So like if you run let's say you train for your 5K by running 3 miles, right? Like, which is about a 5K. And you're like, I want to do this 10 minute pace or just under whatever. And you're not regular runner. Like I'm not someone who runs all the time.
Yeah.
When I'm doing that and I can do it, my heart rate is hitting like the 170s, which is close to
max.
Like you're getting towards your max, right? And he's like, yeah, you don't want to train that way. You want to run that way the day that you compete.
Yeah.
But you train at a lower heart rate max. So you try to keep your heart rate. So you don't try to chase that pace.
Really?
You chase the heart rate. Heart rate should be like 135 to 145, which means your pace is going to be way slower.
Way slower.
But the more you do that, you get faster in that heart rate. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you start running a faster time in the 135, 145.
Oh, it's just building the heart muscle.
It's making you're building your cardio endurance. So then after, if you're doing that weeks and weeks and months, then all of a sudden you're still doing 145, let's say as your heart rate, but instead of like 1130 or something, you're now down to like 1045.
Yeah.
And then when you go, I'm going to push it and get into the 170s, you're doing it faster.
Interesting. I've been lifting and then running on off days.
Mm-hmm.
You saw me run in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I was running like 11 minute miles, 10, 12 minute miles.
Yeah.
And enjoyable, 135 heart rate, but I do feel like I'm not pushing it hard enough.
But that's how you train. That's how they train for conditioning. If you just go like, I'm gonna run this as fast as I can or tolerable, your heart rate's gonna be pretty much maxed out.
Yeah.
And you're not gonna grow from that. You're just gonna be like, every time you're just gonna hit that wall. And actually some people who go for like that max speed running, they end up having a decline in their times. So
really?
Like, yeah, you'll be like, I ran it this fast. Then you try to run it that hard again and your body can't keep up with it.
That's okay. That makes
sense. And I might be,
sense.
You know, yeah. Paraphrasing a little of what he said. So I apologize if I'm not saying it exactly, but that's what I got out of our conversation.
Zach Bitter is those He's guys.
He's an ultra marathon. You know what he does for zone two cardio?
No.
Or like I'm sure he does multiple things, but one of the things he can do, you know what zone two is?
Yeah, zone two is what, 112 to 135?
Yeah, it's like, and you should be able to have, the whole thing is that your heart rate's elevated, but you can have a conversation. So, you know, like.
Yeah, they say that's how you're supposed to jog, so you can talk to the person.
You talk
to someone,
right? But then, you know, if you start pushing it, you're like, I can't talk,
yeah.
Right? I can't have a conversation with you. It's too elevated. He can do a zone two. This guy is ultra marathon, so he can do like 100 mile runs. His zone two, he'll put the incline at 15 and put it at a 6.0, and he can stay in his zone two.
Wow.
I saw one of the most impressive things I've seen in that. You weren't with me. I think, I don't remember if I told you, in that hotel gym, at the casino gym.
Yeah.
I went there on a different day. I was in there with Sean. And you ever seen like a speed walker?
Oh, you told me about this.
So this lady, here's what's most impressive. This lady had to be at best 67, 68, if not older.
Yeah.
And so I see, we're kind of like, oh, look at that form. Because I notice that her head stays completely straight. And then she has the, you know, that speed where you see like the mall walkers and stuff?
Yeah.
When we look at the monitor and she's at 8.1. And I go, that's crazy.
That's a sprint for me.
Well, here's the thing. We're doing like a circuit, you know, like over here, doing this machine. Come back, And I look, 8.5. And I'm like, God damn it. She's just speed walking, right? Couple more circuits. Look over, 10.1.
A speed walking?
Speed walking. And I'm like,
how did you not record her?
I actually was like, if she were ending right now, I would tell her, this might be the single most impressive thing I've seen in a gym, period. I've seen people push press fucking 450, and I've seen people 500 pound bend. This is insanity. And then when we are leaving, I look over and it's at 10.5. And she is just in the zone, speed walking, not running, 10.5. And her form was just like perfect. I mean, I've never seen it. Go on a treadmill if you're not familiar and put on a 10.5.
If you're not on treadmills normally, put on a 6 and it feels like a sprint.
Yeah, 6 is a 10-minute mile.
Yeah, and, it's and a it jog, feels so fucking fast.
Yeah.
7.5 is for me like a out of breath run.
Run, yeah. Yeah, this woman was late 60s speed walking that. I've never seen anything fucking like that before.
That's so... I've found out today I'm 51.
You just found that out?
Yeah. I thought I was 52. And I said to my sister,
you did the math?
I said to my sister, I was like, yeah, I'm 52. Leanne's 53. And she's like, wait, you guys aren't 1 year apart. And I was like, oh, maybe Leanne's 54. And then Cotty goes, no, you were born in 72. It's 2024. And your birthday's not until November. And I went, I'm 51. It was a cool way to get a year.
That's like, really great. See, that's what you're talking about. About the joke can be about you.
Yeah.
That's borderline retarded. And the fact that you're happy about it, I mean, like, it's one thing to not do the math. The fact that you're like, I just got a year, it's fucking so stupid. That is.
Yeah, you're right. Put a dress on me. Put a dress on me. I'm 51.
Oh, my God. I'll be 45 this year.
We should get Zach Bitter for real.
Yeah.
We should get Zach Bitter to run our 5K.
I'll ask him.
Do you know who we should get to run our 5K? You know who I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I partied with him this weekend.
This weekend?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nate Diaz.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I got to look, I don't want to be a party snitch, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't like, because and there are people out there that I've kept secrets about.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, partying with Nate Diaz.
Where? In LA?
Stockton.
You were in Stockton?
I said to the group, I said, because I wasn't drinking this week. I went to Tyler Florence's, had a martini and two wines. Don't count that as drinking. No hangover. Woke up, work out hard the next day. The next day we're in Stockton. And I said to the group, just giving you a heads up, if we get a chance to go out in Stockton with Nate Diaz, we're going. Everyone was fucking terrified.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, no, we're not going out in Stockton with Nate Diaz. He rolls deep. He rolls with 15 people everywhere he goes. And they're all certified black belt killers.
The guys that were at the MGM show were fucking, you knew right away, like, I'm not fucking with any of these guys.
Every single dude he rolls with is dressed in black, head to toe, if not double black, and they're fucking all killers.
Did you hit one place or multiple places?
So he comes to the show, he's just look, I've talked wild shit about people, and I'm sure I've said stuff about, I think I said something about me and you jumping him at one point.
That's cool.
And Shane Gillis told me, just so you know, they're gonna fuck you up.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, I wouldn't be shocked if they jumped you. Cause like, but I have a rule. I only joke about MMA fighters I know have senses of humor.
Yeah. Right?
Like, so like Izzy, I know Izzy's got a sense of humor. I made a joke about Connor. He's got a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Every Michael Chandler, every one of them's got a sense of humor. And it's obviously, it's a joke. It's a wild joke. But there was a morning I woke up and I went, I might have fucked up.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I know Nate and Nick are friends with Joe. I know they got a sense of humor. I know they listen to the podcast, Joe's podcast. And I was like, what if Nate's like, I am from Stockton and we don't talk like that.
Yeah.
And I need you to understand the respect that goes into the, like, I was like, I was really nervous. So I was like, I told everyone, I was like, if he wants to go out, we're going out.
I'm
going to
fuck him up.
We're going out.
Yeah.
No, I have no. Yeah. Mark Smalls was like, you look nervous. I was nervous. Like, I worked at my workout, showered, and sat in the green room waiting for him because I wanted to make sure. I was like, hey.
This is after the show?
Before the show.
You went out with him before the show?
No. So he shows up before the show.
Yeah.
Cool. I don't think he even had a drink before the show. We maybe rolled a blunt right before I went. We took a shot before I went on stage. And then I was like, yo, you want to come out on stage with me? And he, you know, he really is kind of a shy guy. Like, he's just not,
yeah.
He's not me. Like, I'm a fucking, he is at the top of his level, and he got there through talent. I got there through being loud as fuck, right? So he's like, whatever. Like, yeah, I mean, I'll go out if you want me to. And I was like, fuck yeah, it's your talent. This place is going to lose their mind. I walked out on stage. He comes out behind me. The place went fucking ape shit.
Yeah.
He just went up, fucking banged off a flex. Place goes crazy. Ripped my shirt off. He goes out. Bring him up at the end of the show. At the end of the show, he fucking, it was awesome. And then he's like, yo, you want to go out? I told everyone, I was like, we're going out. Pete was nervous. He's like, no, we're not going out in fucking Stockton with the fucking 15 baddest dudes in the world. The fuck we are. I go, we're going out. We're going out. So Nate's like, we got this bar, Ollie's, up in Lodi. Why don't we go up there? And I was like, cool. It's like 25 minutes away. Organized a ride, got up there. Dude, I haven't done this in so long where I go out after the show. And I used to be how I buttered my bread was like at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Everyone goes to a bar. We all party. And we went out with Nate Diaz, smoked some of Joey's weed, Joey's big fat. I brought four of those tampon joints Joey's makes with the glass tip. We smoked all four of them in the rain under a fucking awning, did shots, had a fucking blast, and then hung out with him. Like he was like the coolest fucking guy. Talked about triathlons, talked about swimming, just had great conversation.
Does he do those things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one of my things is like, I've said this a million times. There's two types of people who can swim and people who know how to swim.
Yeah.
And I've always said that. And if you don't know how to swim, you don't understand what I'm saying. Like if you go, I can swim, and you're like, no. But can you swim for 2 miles?
Right.
And Nate lit up. He was like, yeah, I can fucking swim. Like, I think his brother may be a better swimmer because his brother can do the butterfly. Like, him and his brother are legit fucking swimmers. Like, legit. Like, and so we talked about swimming. We talked about triathlons. We talked about everything. He was like the funnest hang I've ever had. And then the other thing I love about him, and this is, I love this. The next day, I'm back home. We took the bus home. I go out with Leanne for a date, and fucking Nate Diaz FaceTimes me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love a FaceTime.
Of course.
I fucking it's a trust thing.
Yeah.
Is you know the person. If you're FaceTiming and they answer, you know where you stand with that guy. And he was all smiles. He was like, dude, Joey's weed kicked my dick. He was like, we had a fucking blast.
That's cool.
And it was cool as fuck. And then I flipped the phone to Leanne. I was like, I'm with my wife. And he was like, but get that old lady out of here.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah.
But it was the funnest fucking time. I will tell anyone. Him and his whole group sat by the end stage, watched the whole show, fucking laughed. Like, he was everything. He was everything. Like,
that's cool.
Yeah, we talked about, because he fought that dude, Sneeko.
Mm-hmm.
And
he did?
He sparred with him. He didn't fuck him up. Like, Sean Strickland fucked him up.
Yeah, he fucked him up.
He fucked him up. Nate just sparred with him, and I think you can... When you
took it easy on him though, like, I mean, played.
I think he fucked him up, but he didn't like.
Why is this kid stepping in the ring or with people? What's he doing?
I think he's trying. I don't know. I don't know anything about.
Is he saying that he can fight with them? Like, why is he doing this?
I don't know. I don't think there's a. I really don't know anything about Sneeko. I only know his name because Sean Strickland fucking lit that kid up.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he took those left hooks he was delivering. Were like. Monstrous.
I know.
I mean, I don't like, they were throwing laundry in there.
I remember.
It was wild.
And everyone was like, all you had to do is go down. He didn't go down.
He didn't go down.
He didn't go down.
That's fucking crazy.
It's fucking insane.
You know, I would have fallen down way earlier.
I think most of the population would have.
There is something about those men. Like even like shaking hands with Nate, you realize his hand's much bigger than yours. Yeah. That he moves different. Like there's just like those guys.
Did you catch that with Manziel's hand? Because he's not a big guy, but when you shake his hand, you're like, oh, it's like a baseball mitt.
Same with
like,
Baker Mayfield.
Psh. Yeah, yeah.
All those dudes are just larger.
Yeah.
They're just a little bit genetically better than us.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because I have jokingly talked wild shit about fighters because I feel like we're all, it's like the way we talk about porn stars, you know, like we're all in the same world, but man, you hang out with them and you realize like they're all sweet guys, but they are conditioned to do things. Really,
they're dangerous. Like most people aren't dangerous. That's what you find out. Most people aren't dangerous. You could, you're in like a public setting. Everyone's been in a public setting where like somebody says something, you know, like it could be on a plane, in a restaurant. Hey, why don't you knock that out? And you see that, like, it's just noise. It's yeah. back and forth banter. And nobody in that setting is dangerous. Everybody is just like, hey, why don't you calm down? But, like, those guys are like, you know, it's like a pit bull off a leash. We're like, you know, if he's fucking trained well, he can restrain himself. But if he's not, like, it can go sideways real fast.
Yeah.
Could be a real life altering thing for you if you encounter somebody like that and it's the wrong day or the wrong moment. Like,
it's crazy because that is a real thing no one thinks of.
I mean, it's happened to people. People get absolutely fucking, like, those guys have been in street fights. I can't imagine being in a street fight with an MMA guy. Like, it's some guy fucking tried to, there's that security camera on Sean's Strickland's property.
Yeah, where the guy tried to break in his car.
Yeah, it's like of all the houses that you could go. And he came out with his gun, too. So it's not only him, it's also him armed. That's fucking, it's a nightmare, dude.
His podcast with Theo is pretty fucking amazing.
Is it great?
It's pretty fucking amazing. I mean, I you know, I'm a fan, so I watched it and was, yeah. was like, wow, it's, I don't know, it's cool. Theo's just, I can talk positively about those five guys we named. I got nothing bad to say, but Theo is so grounded. It's like the most emotional moment. Theo just was real. He was like, hey, man, we can just sit here and not talk if you want. And it was just a fucking riveting podcast.
I've seen there's footage of he's not like a UFC guy, but he's an MMA guy. And he's surrounded by like three guys that are like out talking. It's like, we're same thing I'm talking about. Talking shit, do this, blah, blah. And the three guys try to, you know, start shit with this guy. And he tries to de-escalate it. He ends up knocking the three guys out. Three guys at once. Like, that's, you know, that's pretty.
This is the crazy part that I wonder if this is the thing that gets you into trouble. I wonder if every guy thinks in that magical moment of fight or flight, if they will perform. Every guy goes, this is where I find out I had cage level talent.
Yeah, I don't know, dude.
I don't have that. Like, I really, I've de-escalated moments where I've been hit a bunch first.
You have?
Oh, yeah. I always got hit first. Even in big groups, people would hit me first.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What, in college and stuff?
College. What? I'd say something stupid.
Someone would hit you.
Oh, yeah. Got hit a number of times. Never clean, nothing like, never like a. Never like a one that knocked me out, but definitely.
All my high school friends that went to FSU, when they, you know, we always get back for like the holidays or something, or summer, you'd run into them. They always had so many fight stories.
Dude, there were a lot of guys that could fight up there.
Yeah. It's a big school.
Well, state school. It's like you get, once again, I think you think you're in this, because you guys all went to orientation together. You think everyone came from a well-balanced family.
Yeah, yeah.
And you realize, oh, there's some dudes that, this is their, they got out of a bad situation.
Sure.
And no one ever talks shit to football players.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh.
I bet, yeah.
That's the crazy part is like, the confidence regular men have with regular bodies.
Yeah. If you have a D1 body.
I pulled up on Marvin Jones.
Did he hit you?
Marvin Jones. Cut me off.
Shade tree.
Marvin Jones had a black Mercedes.
In college.
In college. Oh, Marvin Jones. Pull up a picture of Marvin Jones. Do you remember him?
Shade tree.
Played for the Jets.
Yeah, of course.
He cut me off, and I was on right by the Publix over.
Marvin was from Miami, I think, and then like from high school, I'm saying. And then he went to.
Not NHL. It's not a white guy.
No, Marvin. Oh, Marvin. Yes.
Marvin Jones, type in FSU. All right.
Yeah.
Marvin Jones. What's, how big is he? Because he's a large dude. He's 51 years old. We're the same age. Man, we're the same age. Now we are. I thought I was older than he was until this morning. I pulled up on Marvin Jones.
Hit images. Yeah, because that's the most famous shot of him, the top left one. That's like the legendary shot.
And he cut me off on the road right by Publix down on Pensacola, I think it is. Uh-huh. And I think there's a turn left lane or we were going straight. I lived right by there.
Yeah.
And I got out of my car.
And you're like,
I stepped out of my car. What the fuck's up? And as his door opened and I saw his hand, I went, oh, maybe. And then as he stood up, he very kindly turned around. He's like, what's up? I was like, nothing, my bad. I got my car. I was like, my heart was racing. Yeah. I was like sitting in my house smoking a cigarette going like, I just dodged death. It was Marvin fucking Jones. And the only reason I know that is my buddy Miles Mosley was really good friends with Marvin Jones. And Marvin would let Miles drive his car. And one day that car pulled up behind me over by the business school of business. And I thought he found me. And Miles Mosley got out of his car, and I was like, what? And he was like, oh, it's Marvin's car. And I was like, I talk shit to Marvin Jones. Like, he would have fucking...
That would have been the best story ever if you're like, I got my ass beat by Marvin Jones at, like, a stop sign in Tallahassee. Also, you'd have you'd probably still have, like, a speech defect.
Did I ever tell you about the worst I almost got beat up?
No. Because the I'll tell you this, the worst you almost got beat up is this story.
Yeah.
For sure, dude. Yeah. That would have been a fucking nightmare.
God. Well, how big was he? 244, 6'4"?
No. Not 6'4".
6'3"?
He was I'll tell you this, it was a different 244 than I had.
It was.
Yeah.
6'2". Yeah. He was massive.
No, he was a monster.
So the worst I almost got beat up when we were... This is the... Get ready for the whitest story you've ever heard. It is the whitest story.
And you almost got beat up here?
Almost got beat up. So I was a runner for my dad's law firm.
Uh-huh. This is a pretty white start.
It's a pretty white start.
Yeah.
And I would run things down to the courthouse, like probate documents back and forth to the courthouse. And I was confident. I was in good shape. My testosterone was flowing. I was in good shape. I was probably a junior in high school.
Okay.
Going into my junior year, maybe going into my senior
17.
Year. 17. Fucking finger fucking a girl in Carrollwood at the time.
Nice.
I really had my I was laying down my oats. And so I get to my dad's office and his secretary says, hey, there's some kids in the house behind us. They're shooting BBs at our cars. Can you get them to stop? So I was like, sure. Have I ever told you a story?
No.
So I was, yeah. Oh, fucking shut this down real quick.
Confidently.
Confidently. Now, the parking, there was a waist-high fence in the parking where my dad's office was, but it dropped down. The house behind was like, it was a 8-foot fence to them. So we were on higher ground.
Gotcha.
So I go back. I see these two kids sitting on a picnic bench in a Forest Hills. This is very specific to Tampa. Forest Hills white trash house. Okay? Forest Hills ramshackle house. And these two redneck kids, maybe 10, 12, have BB guns and they're laughing. I go, hey guys, it's about it. You're done. And the one kid pulls his BB gun up and just shoots me. I go, whoa. Hey, I said that's enough. Enough of the fucking BB guns. And the guy goes, what the fuck are you going to do about it? And I said, shoot me again, and I'm going to kick your fucking ass. And they shoot, and it misses. And I go, hey, for real, done. You're done with that. And they kind of listen, and I go back inside. So I come back out to drop off another probate document and hit with a BB immediately. And I'm like, motherfucker. I go to the fence, and mind you, it's like just out of me. They're down like 8 feet. And I go, hey. And they're like, what the fuck are you going to do? I said, shoot me one more time. I'll jump over this fence and I'm going to kick both your fucking asses.
These are 10 and 12 year olds?
10 and 12 year olds. I'm very confident in that fight.
Yeah.
And the guy pulls the gun up and he goes, you promise you're going to kick our ass? I go, I'm fucking, shoot me and I'll kick your fucking ass. And he goes, hits me square in the fucking chest. I put my hands on the thing, throw my foot on the fence. And as I do, their 25 year old brother comes running out of the house. He is fucking sprinting through the yard, and I'm like, motherfucker, motherfucker. I jump in my Volkswagen Fox. I lock the door. He hops the fence like he has been in prison, up the fence, over the fence, and he's banging on my window trying to break it. And he goes, get the fuck out of the car. And I'm shaking. I'm like, no. And he's like, get out of the car right now. I put it in drive, back up. I quit the fucking job. I never went back to my dad's office. I was terrified of that guy until my dad bought that house and tore it down. Shout out to my white privilege.
That's pretty white. That's pretty white.
My dad tore that house down. He bought the house to put documents in.
Holy shit.
Before computers.
Yeah.
And then when computers came around, they tore it down, and I went into that house, and I just walked through that house. So I was like, and in college.
Like, and you're like, yeah, motherfucker.
I was like, yeah.
Who won that fight now?
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah.
I wonder what those kids are doing with their lives. They're probably in prison.
They're probably not doing well.
No, yeah. Man, you could run in some real white trash in Florida.
Yeah.
Real. I remember when we first moved into our house, that was a big thing with shooting people with BB guns.
Yeah.
These two redneck kids were chasing a child through the swamps, shooting with BB guns, and he was standing on an island just getting tagged, and they were in a boat laughing. And my dad was like, hey, cut it out. And then those kids started shooting us, and I was like, Dad, leave him there. It's his fight.
I remember when I dropped off my friend at his house so there's this area right next to Vero called Gifford, and like it's an all black area, and I drop him off after football practice, so it would be like sundown. And I drop him off. I mean, it's a really pretty run down area.
Yeah.
And when I drop him off, his house is up on cinder blocks. You know, there's like a trash bag where like one of the, like a hole is, all dirt roads. And when I back out and I go to the stop sign, there's these just three black teenage kids. And they're like, what's up, white boy? And I was like, And you know what they did? They jumped on the hood of the car and I was like, And they start smacking the window. And I was like, and then you start laughing. And I was like, I'm cool. I'm good. To myself, I was like, I wasn't scared. I was so scared.
Do you know my buddy Tony Hernandez? You saw him this weekend.
Yeah.
So Tony went to school at a place called Robinson, right? Uh-huh. Robinson, until he went to Plant. He went to Plant, I think his senior year, but went to school in Robinson. Robinson, old school Tampa, was like predominantly black.
Yeah.
So all Tony's friends were black. All of Tony's friends. So we meet Tony when we're young. And then one night, we're like junior year, and he's like, hey, man, you want to go out with a bunch of my friends? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, cool. Can you pick them up? Because he lived in South Tampa. I live in North Tampa. He goes, they're in West Tampa. Can you pick them up? I was like, yeah. Well, West Tampa is defined by the interstate. That's predominantly Cuban. Mm-hmm. East Tampa is predominantly black. And I take a left off the interstate taking these directions. And I go, this can't be right. I think I pulled into the Ponce de Leon Project House.
Mm-hmm.
And or Port Tampa. I forget where it was. It was like... And I went up and I was like, what the fuck? And then like five black dudes come running out. And I'm like, Tony didn't tell me they were black. I just was like, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And they just, you burnt? And I was like, yeah, they get in my car. I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, cool. And so everything's totally fine. Like, we're all just normal kids at this time. We go get Tony. And then they're like, what are we doing tonight? And I was like, there's this party. So we're like, cool. So I take them to this party. And I was like, you guys, this should be fun. And they're like, yeah, we're going to fuck these white boys up. And I'm like, wait, what? They just went into a party and started a fight and beat up all my friends. And I drove them home. And I never told anybody. They beat up my best friend that I grew up with, Pat Fagan. They beat him up. And I was like, that's crazy. Where do they come from?
They just found us.
I took them home.
You guys need a ride?
I still see them from time to time. I do. They come to my shows in Tampa. They're all grown ups. They have kids.
Yeah.
I remember when I got in that fight with that dude. Donovan. Do you remember me telling that story about I got in a fight with a black dude named Donovan when I was in high school? He's still alive. Cowhead found
him. Oh, he's still alive?
Cowhead found his daughter. And his daughter was like, they're like, you want to come on the show and talk to Bert? And then Donovan goes, how much? He's like, I'm not going to pay you. And he's like, pass. I beat a lot of people's asses.
Oh, wow.
When I got in a fight with Donovan, I got beat up.
In
high school, yeah. He was like a state wrestling champion.
Oh, those guys are nasty.
He warmed up by shaking his Camaro. Like, he was warming up for the fight. And I was like, oh, I didn't even think about stretching.
Yeah.
And I remember I ripped his shirt off of him on accident. I didn't do it on purpose. I was falling. And he got pissed that his shirt got ripped. And I was like, oh, fuck, this is going to get worse. And when those guys found out I fought Donovan, they were like, damn, you fought Donovan?
Oh,
he was like a state wrestling champion. He was jacked, and he'd go out by himself.
Did you tell them a different version of how the fight went? Were you like,
No. Kinda. That's the one thing you're going to get true from me is that I, for whatever reason, and this goes back to the initial conversation about like, I don't know, for whatever reason, in the story, looking like the fool and making people laugh was more important to me than being the tough guy in the story.
Yeah.
So I got really beat up. He wasn't that bad. We It was an old joke. You can find it online. It's pretty horrible now when you look at it. But it was nighttime. I was at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
He was a dark dude. I remember I punched into his high top fade.
Yeah.
And I touched his hair for the first time. I touched a black dude's hair. And I was like, it's so soft. And he was like, what? And I was like, so. And then at the end, my buddies, he chased us. He beat me up. And then I jumped in a car. I think the cop showed up, maybe. I forget. The cop showed up. We ended up driving away in a car. He chased us, and we got out with tennis rackets and golf clubs because that was what was in my trunk.
Real white.
And he started. I remember him like almost laughing, like, "What?"
The cop.
And it was three dudes,
or the guy,
the black dude. And then he chased us back. Cops pulled up, and then I had to sit to the cops and say, "They're like, is there a problem?" Two white cops, and they were ready to take him to jail.
Yeah.
And they're like, "What happened?" And I was like, "And they separated us." And I was like, "Nothing, man. We're cool." And they're like, he's saying that he was helping you out. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Thank God he was here. Yeah, he helped me out. And then I was like, and then the cops left. And I thought we'd like dap it up and be like, so I got you out of jail. We're cool. And he just like, if I ever see you again, I'm going to fuck you up again. And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe I should let them take you to jail.
You ever get in a bar fight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good one. Right around the Rodney King verdict.
Were you pissed about it?
No. It was white on white.
Yeah.
Lambda Chi's versus ATO's, and I just jumped in the middle. And I was like, whoa. Can't we all just get along? And I got a big laugh from my friends, and that's when I felt the punch. And I went, phoomp. And then a typical Burt fight, someone just dragged me out of there and got me out of there.
I got saved at one. I was at a
bar fight?
Bar fight in college. I was with one friend, I think Justin, and this guy Chuck. You know Chuck? You know Chuck.
I know Chuck, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Chuck's 6'5".
He is a big dude.
He's like 260 at the time. He's like playing college football. And there's this guy walks by and he steps on Chuck's foot and Chuck's like, excuse me. Like, hey. And the guy, I forget. And the guy does it again. And Charlie goes, if you step on my foot again, it's going to be like a fucking problem. And I was just like, all right. And then, you know, it's like, it's activity, right? It's like a Friday night. The guy steps on his foot again. And I watch him, like he takes the guy by the shirt. He pulls him like this. And he's way bigger. He just goes, bap. And then bap, like right to the. And then that guy's three friends come over and start just swinging. And before like anything can really happen, I don't even know this, that like 15 football players are at the bar behind us. And they just come over like somebody blew a whistle. Like just fucking, and it just is like a melee. But they are just on top of these guys. And then the bouncer comes over to us and he's like, you guys got to get the fuck out of here. Like you're ruining this for everybody. Like this is just like a bloodbath. But I didn't have to do shit. I just stood there as people like fought over me.
We were in Clemson, traveling.
For the game?
Yeah, for the game, Florida State, Clemson.
Yeah.
It's Clemson, South Carolina, right?
Yeah, South Carolina. Yeah,
hottest fucking stadium I've ever been in my entire life. And we're at a bar after the game. I'm sure we won. And my buddy, and you're welcome for me not saying your name, my buddy comes up to me in a panic. He's like, hey, man, you want to switch jerseys? I was like, huh? And he's like, I don't know. I just kind of want to wear a Charlie Ward jersey. And I was like, okay, he had a work done jersey on. So I was like, switch jerseys. And then all of a sudden, like seven dudes and a girl come up to me and she's like, that's the dude that bit me. I was like, huh? And they're like, let's go. And they fucking moved me outside of the bar. And by the way, this is all my fraternity. All my friends are there. They moved me out of the bar and they're like, she's like, yeah, it's the guy in the work done jersey that bit me. And we didn't even look alike.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't bite anybody. Like, I don't even have really great teeth. I remember you defend yourself by saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
I have majority veneers. I wouldn't bite somebody.
Yeah.
And then they're like, and I want to say my buddy's name so badly. Just edit it out. Sneakiest motherfucker. I don't edit his name out, but he'll know I'm talking about him. He went to rehab in like seventh grade, right?
Yeah.
Went to rehab in seventh grade, got his shit together. He worked at a coffee shop in the mall and was stealing them blind. Like always just a little sideways of a dude. Different adult today, but all growing up a sideways of a dude. I remember watching him as these guys were talking to me, just sneak up behind someone and the guy talking to me just goes, wham, and sucker punch jaws that guy unconscious into a planter box. The guy goes, whoonk, and the biggest fight breaks out. I'm not involved in it at all. Everyone's punching each other, and I just moved out of the way. But I remember the dude that switched jersey was like, oh, that was crazy, huh? And I was like, did you do that on purpose? He was like, fuck yeah, I bit that chick. Yeah. He was like, I was like, I'm not going to fucking get a fight. I can't fight. You can fight. And I was like, I can't fucking fight either. Give it to a big guy. Yeah. Give it to fucking.
Okay.
We should probably wrap up.
We should wrap up. Yeah.
By the way, we just shared fight stories.
Yeah. That we didn't, by the way, we didn't fight in any of our fight stories, really.
No. That's why I had so much fun with Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz, you were surrounded. You are surrounded by 15 fucking murderers.
Yeah.
No one's going to touch you. That was like, but by the way, I got to say, everyone in Lodi, I think when you grow up in a place like Lodi or Stockton, you have a respect for men that we don't have maybe here.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like everyone was cool as fuck. There was never any drama. Everyone was cool as fuck. Shout out to Ollie's in Lodi. And shout out to the mayor. The mayor was there.
Oh, shout out to the mayor.
Nate Diaz rolls in with the mayor.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I love you, Tommy.
Love you too. This bone broth was the shit. Thanks for making
I'm
it.
Yeah, I'm fucking done.
All right. See you next time.
Bert and Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.